Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is your host, Cedric Shabazz from Blog Talk Radio, Revolutionary Soul Talk Radio, also known as God Brother Radio, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, also known as Sin City. Folks, how everybody is doing? This is just me getting my last minute preparations in for this show. And the title of this show today would be called, Is Donald Trump a Democrat Plant? And also, U.S. military draft coming soon. You know, folks, something is funny with this Trump business going around. How can a very offensive candidate be front runner of the Republican Party? Is the Republican establishment going to accept the loss for the presidency of the United States in 2016 again? I'm starting to believe Donald Trump really believes he has a chance to win without the Hispanic and the African-American and the minority vote in general. He actually is a gift to the Democrats and probably really is a Democrat, sabotaging the Republican Party and business with the Democratic Party. Republicans know without the so-called minority vote, they cannot win. The numbers support that, and they say numbers don't lie. Also, the U.S. military draft is here. The draft is coming. People don't believe me, but the United States will be drafting all our young men and young women of all skin colors who are without jobs. That's what's going to happen. All right, where do I start? Let's start with this Donald Trump business. You know, folks, when Donald Trump first announced that he was running for the presidency of the United States, I think like a lot of people, we didn't really take him seriously because he have done that before and several times and has not followed through. Well, this time it seems to be a little different this time because here it now is he's supposed to be considered the front runner of the Republican Party. And I'm just amazed as anybody else about who his supporters are. Now, they say his supporters are people who are a little further on the right in the Republican Party that are interested in outsiders and that are interested in nationalism and almost a point to isolationism. And that is what pretty much Donald Trump is preaching. I mean, he is, I say he has a hardcore group of supporters of, I would say, about 30% of the voting population of the Republican base is a stern believer in for Donald Trump. And that 30% of people do not mind the sometimes very offensive statements that come out of his mouth if it's dealing with women, if it's dealing with African-Americans, if dealing with Hispanics, if it's dealing with people with disabilities, if it's dealing with the Muslim community. You know, saying that all we need a temporary ban on all Muslims until we get certain things straight or see what's going on is, for one thing, that is against the Constitution. And another thing is, it's very, very, very un-American. Now, I hear some people talking about, well, you know, back in World War II, the government did take its Japanese American citizens and put them in concentration camps. Yes, the United States government, our beloved country, did do that, but it didn't make it right for them to do so. What they did is they trampled the constitutional right of the Japanese Americans, and not only that, they years later they end up paying the leftover ancestors or the families from that time a $10,000 reparation check, as I remember. So, you know, for the wrongdoing of the Japanese America. Now, some people says, well, you know, we was at World War II, we had to do for national security. You know, folks, you know, right now all this talk about ISIS and all this talk about homegrown terrorists, this is nothing new. The ISIS threat, I do understand, is a very, very real threat because it's more, they're like probably the most organized terrorist group that we ever had to encounter. But at the same time, it's like, you know, when it comes to national security, we can't afford to trample our constitutional rights in the name of, I would say, fear, because that is basically, you know, coming out of Donald Trump's mouth is really a campaign espousing to people's fears. And what's happening is that there's a lot of people who are afraid right now. There's some legitimate fears. We all have legitimate to be cautioned about terrorism in our country. I agree, but at the same time, there's a lot of fear mongering going on out there. That is right now as a result that there's a lot of Muslim Americans in the Muslim community and in our ABRAP community and Southeast Asian community are feeling the backlash from ignorance. You know, there's people who are committing hate crimes now because of this rhetoric. And some people are saying, well, you can't link that rhetoric to Donald Trump. Well, you know, it's not just a Donald Trump rhetoric. See, the thing is, once you start running to be a candidate of the most important job in the world, the United States presidency, you know, you have a responsibility to watch what you say and have to be accountable what comes out of your mouth, because there are people who are very influenced who what the words come out of your mouth. And that goes for, you know, anybody running for a particular high office or anything. And even if that's not the case, us human beings, as we interact with each other in society or whatever, or with family members or loved ones or just friends, I mean, we're still accountable for what the words come out of our mouth. That is just the way it is, you know. And right now, the reason why I'm disappointed in Donald Trump is not the fact that he believes that he could actually win the nomination for the Republican Party. You know, he has all right to feel that way when you're at 42 or 43%, and you basically is in the lead of everybody else. You know, practically what, 9 to 13 other people going for the same nomination. But you know, you look at it this way also, though. You know, it's like these people are really feeding Donald Trump a disillusion that says that he thinks he's going to win the nomination of the Republican Party. Well, you know, if he does win the nomination of the Republican Party, that would be a big, big, big gift wrapped with a bow handed to the Democrats. I mean, the Democratic establishment and Hillary Clinton and them would love to run against Donald Trump. I mean, that really, you know, the thing is, it would be like it would be almost a crime, because it would be like the most easiest win for a person to be the U.S. presidency in history. You know, because the numbers do not support that. You can't be the president of the United States and offend, like I said, offend women, offend Hispanics, offend African-Americans or minorities in general, offend women, offend disabilities, and think you're going to win the whole shebang. It doesn't work like that. The numbers do not support like that, like I said earlier. You know, it's proven point that that for anybody to be the president of the United States, you need the minority vote. And without the minority vote, you're not going to be the president of the United States. That's just the way it is, because of the changing population of us. 300 million Americans is getting more. I mean, the fact is, we're getting more. There's more or less European or Caucasian in the United States, and more of different people of different nationalities and colors. That's just the fact. That's just the way it's going. From people intermarrying, having babies, and that's just the way it's going. You know, and that's the way it is. So, you know, but I think this is a 30% population that's really, really, you know, I mean, there's got to be a percentage of those people who wish it was the 1700s or the 1800s or the 1950s again, because I can't believe that for a fact that they wish for the old days, and the majority of people who wish for the old days of course, have never been born in old days. They have read up about the old days, or they heard about the old days, or especially the people in the 1950s, if their parents who were raised in the 50s, had seen life from a different perspective when there was segregation and women's rights wasn't fully restored. African Americans could not vote at that time. I mean, a lot of people loved the 50s because it was very segregated, and it was just and actually they said the 50s was a very peaceful time for so-called Caucasian Americans at that time. You know, so it was the Leave It to Beaver phase, and blacks were back of the bus, and people. It was like one of them times where people knew were supposed to know where their place was, and that disfranchisement. There was no equality there. There was no, you look at the 1950s, it was just segregation as a law itself was just made people second-class citizens. So, but there's a population of people who always feel like there should be second-class citizens in the United States, and it pretty much will always be that way is what people feel like. But the reality is that Donald Trump is very disillusioned, and I'm even going to go to the link to say I think he is a Democratic plant. And you're probably saying, why would I say that? Well, it just doesn't make sense, folks. It doesn't make sense how the Republicans, the establishment, who know that if Donald Trump becomes their nominee, that they're not going to win the president of the United States, are not going on an offensive against Donald Trump because they're scared of fracturing the whole Republican Party, which is fractured anyways. You know, it's like I would have more respect for the Republican Party if they went ahead and just collectively just went against Donald Trump and everything he stands for, even though that would cost them also to be the presidency of the United States. At least they would have some backbone. At least they would be still respected as a party. But right now, they have no respect. They lost all kind of legitimate respect from people who even had any kind of respect for the Republican Party. Now, I'm a registered Democrat, but I consider myself independent, which means I don't have no problem voting for a Republican if I think that's the best person for the job. I'm always going to be an independent person on that way. So the fact is that I'm not being biased against the Republican Party because me, myself, I'm very conservative on my personal issues. This show's not about me, but just to get to the point, I believe I have a lot of conservatism in me when it comes to money, when it comes to, I'm not pro-life because I believe a woman is right to choose, but I also believe also that that's it. I believe a woman has the right to choose because that's between her and her God or her and her conscience, whatever she wants to look at it that way. And I leave it at that. But I'm very conservative of financial, I got both a liberal thing and a conservative thing in me, and I guess that's what makes me independent. Now, getting back to the point of the show today, and once again, I'm the host. My name is Cedric Shabazz, live from Sin City, Las Vegas, and once again, we're talking about the Trump, a Democrat plant, and also the U.S. military draft is coming soon. Feel free to call in if you want to. The number is 213-943-3508. Once again, the number is 213-943-3508 to call in to talk about this Donald Trump situation and also talk about politics in general or talk about the other subject I'm about to talk about called the U.S. military draft is coming soon. But it's going to be a very interesting, 2016 run for the presidency because, I'm looking forward to having the first female president of the United States, and I do believe that Hillary Clinton will be the first female president of the United States, and I actually believe she'll be the president of the United States for the next 8 years. But I also believe after that 8 years that the up-and-coming Marco Rubio, I really believe Marco Rubio will be the first Hispanic president of the United States after Hillary has finished her 8 years. And to be frank to you, to be honest with you, I like Rock. I like Marco Rubio. Because the reason I like Marco Rubio is because he's really genuine about his stance on his issues. And he knows that some of his stance, like for instance, immigration, is something that the Republican Party does not believe in. Well, I'm not going to say they don't. Because the Republican Party also know that if they took a stance against immigrants like Donald Trump, you know, Donald Trump's talking about deporting 11 million of our brothers and sisters who are immigrants in this country. He's actually saying that we got to deport them. Now, everybody know that if it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, that we're not going to deport 11 million people and 11 million citizens or non-citizens, because the fact is, for once, it's just we'll be tearing families apart. Number two, the cost of searching, finding, and deporting 11 million people would be, I don't know, what they're going to do, raise taxes on the taxpaying Americans to deport people who are here illegally? That doesn't make sense. The cost doesn't make sense. And not only that, it's a fact is that there's going to be a percentage of 11 million people who are not going to want to go. So therefore, you're going to have to use force. We're going to have to use force, which that means that's blood shed and imprisonment for a large population of people. And it'll be just a disaster and a mess, and it'll be counterproductive. And not only that, it's not who we are as the United States of Americans. We're just, you know, by heart, we're a nation of immigrants. And to be frank, This beloved country of ours, if you want to be really frank about it, is the Native Americans. This is their country before anybody else's, before the Caucasian Americans, before the Africans that were brought over here, and before anybody else who came over to the United States. This was the Native Americans' land. So this is a nation of immigrants from the get-go. So let's not going to get into debate about that, but that's fact, that's history, and, you know, that's just the way it is. So I really believe that the Republicans need a backbone. They need to stand up to you know, well, I'm disappointed. I really am, because I'm the kind of person I respect for individual politicians. It doesn't matter, like I said, if they're Republican, independent, or Democrats. But I have respect for people who show that they're, for one thing, that they actually believe in what their beliefs are. I mean, I don't have to agree with their beliefs, but I have a certain respect for people who actually have a backbone and character that they actually passionately believe in their beliefs. You know, and right now I expect the Republican establishment to get together, to rise up against Donald Trump and say, you know what, this is not what our party's about. And maybe 30% of people in our party probably feel that way, but the 30% of the people do not represent the majority of us, and we're going to let them know that. Okay. But I don't believe that's going to happen, folks. I don't believe that's going to happen. I hate to say it, but I believe if Donald Trump becomes a Republican nomination, that's just another two steps backwards for the Republican Party as a whole. I mean, you know, you might as well forget, they'll be losing the Senate, eventually they'll lose the House, then they'll start losing local races, you know, state races and city races, and then next thing you know, they're just going to be the has-been party. And I think that's the way they're going. And it's a shame, because I believe the GOP and the Republican parties have a great, I don't believe in all their beliefs, but I do believe that they're a great party that they said they are at one time, the party of Lincoln. You know, there's some great Republicans, and so, you know, it's a shame. You know, I respect like John McCain. You know, I respect Lindsey Graham. You know, I respect the certain Republicans that have always will get my respect because of their character and their backbone. And when someone's wrong, they'll say someone's wrong. I mean, you know, and that's what it's about, regardless. So, once again, you know, the next second part of my show is going to be called The U.S. Military Draft is Coming Soon. And, you know, I've been thinking about this for a couple of years. I think I've been really thinking about it since the beginning of the recession. around 2007 or early 2008. And it dawned on me, because I've never been in a recession before, but it did affect me. And right now, I'm a 48-year-old man. I'll be 49 in 2 weeks. And that was the first time that I ever had to deal with not having a currency or money in my pocket or opportunity for money to trickle down to me or me to get money or wherever you want to say. And I'm telling you, folks, that was a really, really a depressing situation. But I also have to remember that there were a lot of young people at the time who were in college who got their degrees that couldn't find a job that was equal to the education they got. And then they couldn't find a job that was not equal to the education they got because they were considered overskilled, or how they say, the word hasn't came to me about it, but overqualified, you know. And so they're sitting there with no jobs, and they're in their 20s, and they're moving back to their parents' house. And I was thinking just like that, you know, if a young man, a young woman can't find a job and when the recession started, and they also are accumulating student payday, you know, they only big old student loans and things. And I was thinking, like, you know what, the draft might be coming, you know, because the United States is going to have to do something about a large population of young people between the certain ages of 18 and, I would say, I don't know what, I think it's 18 and 24, I guess. I don't know what the age thing is from the draft, but I believe it was 18 to 24. I'm not sure. There's a big population of youngsters who do not have jobs, can't find jobs, and will never have jobs. And I think that the U.S. military draft is coming is because of the fact is that we're going to have a World War III. And the fact is that I really believe that they are—they're not going to tell us that a draft is coming, but they look at it this two ways. Now, I support a draft, but I only support a draft when it's non-war time, when it's peacetime. And what I'm saying is, it's a shame that, especially to a large majority of young men and women out there of color, especially of African American men, that their only value collectively is if they be drafted, and you know, we want to give them a check every week to get on the front lines to fight our wars, but we don't want to give them a job when there's peace. And that's what I have a problem with when it comes to fundamentally part of the draft. You know, and the reason they don't have a draft is because they could look at it, well, we could solve two problems. One problem, we could draft all the young men in the United States of America and we could employ them. And actually, that would help actually for a lot of young brothers would feel like men, and a lot of in the African-American community, unemployment would actually go down by half, and they could walk around and feel like they're worthy of something to be men. And I should know, you know, self-esteem and feeling like a man is a big thing for us African-American boys growing up, you know. is to to have value and self-respect. So, and that'd be a great thing, because we could take care of our families, we could take care of our babies, but at the same time, at what cost? At the cost of handing going into the infantry and handing rifles and putting them on the front lines over in the Middle East or whatever, you know, of their lives. So, you know, I believe in the draft because I believe it could do good things as far as employment to young men and young women. But at the same time, I don't believe in the draft when, okay, well, you know what, we got a war coming, so I'm going to draft you, and I'm just going to put you on the front lines. You know, but that's basically, you know, is what's going to happen, because no Republican or no Democrat or no independent right now is actually stating that a draft is coming, but a draft is coming, folks. I mean, you can see it. A draft is coming. We know there's going to be a World War III sometime, and that's the excuse they're going to use for a draft. But the draft has been structured to be implemented a long time ago. And, you know, and then they're going to have to loosen up some of their requirements of the draft, because they're going to be, you know, I mean, so many young guys are felons. Some of these young guys already have a record. Well, some, you know, in order to give these guys a second chance, you might have to just excuse certain felonies. You might have to excuse certain things on people's records so they could qualify, educate them, and so they could, you know, like I said, take care of their families, take care of this country. So, and the thing is that what really kind of disturbs me is that no candidate is admitting that there's going to be a draft, Republican or independent or Democrat. And what bothers me, yeah, I mean, I understand why they don't, because the fact is that if they went out and said, let's say, not Chris Christie, but let's say Donald Trump. Let me just use him for example. If he says, oh, yeah, you know what? Well, if I come become the president of the United States, I'm going to implement a draft so all the young people be employed. Well, you know what? A lot of young people do not believe in a draft. So, therefore, they're not going to vote for a candidate who's going to draft them into a service. It's not going to happen. That's why none of them is going to announce a draft. But believe me, a draft will happen. And I think even if it's Hillary Clinton, even if it's a Democrat, I believe that they're going to implement a draft because, in a sense, they're going to have to. They're going to have to. And they're going to have to reinvest into the military, the size of the military. They're going to have to, the sequester that they had on the military, they're going to have to lift that up. They're going to have to, we need more troops. We need more, there's a lot of things we need. And basically, we need more bodies. So I do support the draft. What I don't support is the reason why of a draft, because of war. So, once again, my name is Cedric Shabazz. I have 3 minutes left. I'd like to say, if you would like to continue to support God Brothers Entertainment and God Brother Radio, please go to Zazzle, Zazzle.com/ Ced Shabazz, CedShabazz, or actually it's Cedric Shabazz, CedricShabazz, and go there and you can please purchase a hat, a hoodie, a tank top, a postcard, a necklace, a watch. I mean, I have over 200 logos and over 5,000 products. Once again, at Zazzle, Zazzle.com/ Cedric Shabazz, CedricShabazz. Thank you so much for listening to God Brother Radio, Revolutionary Soul Talk Radio, on this beautiful Sunday. I do not know what the date is, but I know it's December. And like to just say, people, please, we don't know what tomorrow gives us. So please, let's be nice to each other. Let's not take each other for granted. And if you got to, you know, if you got some make peace with somebody that you haven't made peace for, I mean, you know what? Please do so, you know. So once again, my name is Cedric Shabazz from God Brother Radio. Have a beautiful day. And I will see everybody next Saturday or Sunday at the same bat time. Thank you, and God bless.